The Korean FC podcast is kindly sponsored by Radio Taxis. Give them a call, 70353-709. They know the score.
Hello, once again, welcome along to the official Korean FC podcast. We're getting what seems like very close to the, well, almost close to the end of the season, because obviously with the end of the regular season, but then of course we move into the European playoff qualification process, but all in good time, I'm sure. There's two games left of the regular season, and joining me today to look ahead to those games and the end of the season, I suppose, is my regular co-host, Jonathan McNabb. Johnny, didn't have a podcast last week. We sort of, circumstances beyond our control, I think, was what the way you described it. So good to be back for a week.
Yeah, obviously. Marty agreed, and then something came up with him that last minute, and it was just too late to arrange on him, to be honest. But he has promised me he'd come on, is it May the 3rd, he promised me, and then I bumped into Skinner the day too, he was asked, and he never replied to me, and then he sort of said, oh, I'm sorry about that, Johnny, so he'll come on sometime soon as well. So, we're working hard to get a few guests on, and Rodney sort of drew the short straw this week for us.
Yes, you mentioned Rodney, and I'm delighted to say that joining us on this week's podcast is, I suppose, a player that maybe has been forgotten about in recent weeks, through no fault of his own, I hasten to add, and I'm delighted to welcome Rodney Brown to the podcast. Rodney, first of all, welcome to the podcast, and I was mentioning that you're kind of forgotten about as well, but that's mainly because of your injury, isn't it?
Yes, no, thanks very much for having me on. As I think not too many people know, obviously, about the injury at the minute, how serious it probably was. I think because it happened in training, it'd be different if it happened in match. I think people would probably know more, but it was actually 4 weeks tomorrow. It was Thursday night at training. There was about 2 minutes left of the session, and I went up for a header and landed and just heard a snap. And I thought somebody had actually kicked me at the time, but I turned around and there was nobody near me. So obviously I went and got a scan and stuff and went to the hospital, and I've ended up, I've ruptured my Achilles. So really unfortunate, but I got an op there 2 weeks ago. So sort of started the road to recovery, but it's been a frustrating year. And obviously that there was the really tear in the kick, but that's the sort of story I'm on at the minute.
Yeah, as you say, it has been a bit of a frustrating year, because you had another injury prior to that. I can't remember which game it was that you went up for a header and landed awkwardly and left the field early as well. So, I mean, that was an injury earlier in the season.
Yes, that was against the Glens. I'd actually just coming back from that. Just before the cup final, I got back and I was training the week before the cup final. It was grand. And then I got back for a couple of weeks. And then obviously that there happened in training, which was just so unfortunate. But this season compared to last, I think last year I more or less played every game. And then this year it's been so stop start. But it's just been a nightmare all round. But hopefully get back in the road to recovery now. But it's just very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, you said like a ruptured Achilles. I mean, that sounds serious, and it is serious. I mean, how long do you foresee yourself being out? Obviously, this season is a write-off for you personally, but is it a case that you could be back for pre-season next year, or is that still too early?
I would say that's way too early. You're probably looking at probably 9 months. That's what was being told anyway, but obviously, everybody's different by healing stages and stuff, but the first 2 weeks I was really, really got it. But see now, I've sort of settled a wee bit with it getting easier a bit a week, but it's just the crutches, is actually. See if we could get off the crutches, that'd be a lot of hand there, but they're just hassle anywhere you try and go or try and do anything. But I think I'm on them for about probably 8 to 10 weeks here, and then hopefully probably be gemming it for 2 or 3 months, and then we'll just take it from there. But No, it's going to be long term. I know that in the back of my head anyway. As hard as it is, they say, but that's what it's going to be.
That's, I mean, Johnny, we as media and fans, et cetera, you know, we follow the team and we follow the players and we want them to do well and we expect them to do well, I suppose, at times as well. And but I guess it's only when you hear somebody like Rodney looking at 9 months out of potentially out of a career and been on the crutches for so long and the long road to rehabilitation, I guess it just underlines the sacrifices and how difficult it is for players who at the end of the day are part-time and have jobs to look after and families and a normal life as well.
Damien, I was the most shocked human being in the world when I seen Rodney and crutches and sat. I hadn't a clue. And I went up there and I goes, what the hell happened to you? So, yeah, obviously, look, obviously Rodney was explaining it to me and stuff, which is not ideal. And they're ideally obviously pick up an injury. And I think he's sort of caught the bug from Stephen Lowry where they've never really been injured. And then they've had 3 injuries each in the same year. So must be a bad bug going around the showgrounds. I think, yeah, obviously, look, players are, you know, the football and whenever they get injured, it not only affects their life, football life, but also their life working and their personal life and everyone else. I think Rodney's started a family there as well. So, you know, people just don't really, you know, see, you know, the outside things outside of a match. So, but listening to what Rodney has to say, I think he's in reasonably good spirits for having really bad news. And I suppose that's probably half the battle. You know, we probably need to be more a glass half full than half empty in this sort of situation. So, yeah, the good, obviously, hopefully the good mindset and everyone else will help Rodney get back.
But I guess, Rodney, it's part and parcel of being a sports person, part and parcel of being a footballer. You know, every time you step out on training or in a football match scenario, you run the risk of injury, and that's just one of sort of the occupational hazards, I suppose, isn't it?
100%. Everybody, yeah. It's just doesn't happen to me. So you probably, I felt sorry for myself for probably the first couple of weeks. But you just, I've played with loads of players that have went through the same process. And look, I'm no different to them. It's just unfortunate when it does happen to yourself. But you have to expect that in football, and these things happen. So once you get the first couple of weeks, everything goes through your head the first couple of weeks. But then once you sort of start talking to people and you get down to the games again, and then you just sort of get a wee lift. And I was glad to get down there Saturday. It was just nice to see all the boys again, and they were all rooting for me as well. So look, it just doesn't happen to me. It's just really unfortunate when it does.
Because that's the one side of it. I did say at the start, you know, like the forgotten man, and I wasn't overly being serious with that, but that can, I guess that's the risk that can happen, is that if you are out of the squad or out of that camp with injury, you do maybe lose contact with the boys in the squad. And how important is it then that you have contact with them and that camaraderie? And I know that I've been speaking to Lyndon in the past about his injuries, and he was out for a long time, and he mentioned things that, you know, maybe somebody would ring him or text him or go with him for a cup of coffee, and that meant an awful lot to him in his recovery. So it can be difficult.
That's probably one thing I would always say about down there. It's just one thing you would never be is forgotten about. I know you're obviously just saying that just out of what you were saying, but that's one thing down there you're never ever forgot about, no matter if you're playing, you're not playing, you aren't there. Like everyone's just, we're all just so tight down there, and Oran's the exact same. Oran's brilliant. The physio team have been absolutely phenomenal with me. They've been texting me every other day, and just things like that there always lift your mood, and you just know that you're always wanted and you'll always be down there, and you're part of the squad no matter when you're not playing or you're injured. I think that's one thing about down at Korean, everybody's together.
I know. That could be hard, Johnny, couldn't it? But I mean, it's great to hear Rodney, for example, saying just that, you know, you're not forgotten, you're still part of that squad, and that's vitally important, isn't it? So you're not sitting and feeling sorry for yourself for too long.
Yeah, 100%. There's no me in a team, it's always we, and it's a collective group of players, and obviously they're all close to each other, and you know, this is Rodney's second spell, so you know, we've been probably close with Adam and London and everything too, so he's built up friendship there for a long time, and then obviously with the new guys coming in, so Yeah, look, every single player in that squad, I'm sure, has been injured. So that's exactly what Ronnie's feeling, and there's no much point making them feel left out or anything like that. There, you know, they're not that evil or not that bad. So, yeah, it's going to be. I think the big thing, the good thing, is that obviously now with the players being able to train at the showgrounds, whenever Ronnie is back, he'll do gym work. He'll be able to be in and amongst it and be in the gym and maybe outside on the bike or whatever during pre-season and stuff like that. So, yeah, look, it's obviously disappointing. You never want to get injured, but I suppose if you were to pick up an injury nearly towards the end of the season, might just be the best time in terms of then getting into pre-season, and that's a couple of months as well. So, fingers crossed that you can come back at a good time.
Exactly. And Rodney, you mentioned that you were down on Saturday, and obviously that was Corrine home to Linfield. I mean, I guess, like most footballers, you're not a good watcher of matches.
No, but I don't think any player likes watching. But to be honest, I don't think there was too much in the game as far as either. Just unfortunately conceded with a few minutes to go. I thought first half we were actually very, very good. And then second half, no team was overly brilliant, but obviously we still lost 1-0. But I think if we perform the way we did in the first half for the rest of the season, we'll be all right. So, but I think it's just now at the stage where it's probably, Oren has his hands tied with some players. He's probably like more or less the same 11 every week, and he's just been so unfortunate with injuries and suspensions are coming up. And I think boys are just, there's some boys probably playing out there at the minute that are maybe only 60 or 70%, but you expect that at this stage of the season, and the type of boys that they are down there, they're never going to say they don't want to play. They'll always go out and give their shift, but I think there's some boys that are just hecking down there, but they're still giving everything they can.
It's difficult to manage, as opposed for Oren, Rodney, when you look at it, because there've been three games post split. There's two left. Looking at the table here, we are in sixth, and we can't go any further than sixth. It's almost as a manager now is trying to juggle everything and all the players to try and ensure that when that first playoff game comes, that you have 11 or a squad of as many players as fit and available as you can possibly have.
Yes, I think now probably with you saying we can't go any higher in sixth, we can't go any lower, so now Oren will probably be trying to manage the players that are sore as much as they can for these next 2 weeks and then build towards the playoff games, which is going to be massive for us as well.
I mean, just come back to Saturday, Johnny. You mean, obviously, you're well embedded in the club, but aside from what happened on the pitch on Saturday, Johnny, it was a massive day off the pitch as well. We had a couple of VIP visitors. We had the Secretary of State, Chris Heaton Harris, coming down, and also an Oscar winner in the form of James Martin. So, I mean, even regardless of what happened on the pitch on Saturday, it was a real red letter day off the field for the club.
Yeah, as media officer, that was a very, very busy day, I will tell you. They hadn't they picked the Linfield game as well, flip me. They could have picked me with a lesser crowd. But no, obviously you can't really dictate when the Secretary of State's gonna come down. So obviously he was at the showgrounds, and James Martin was a special guest for Learning Disability Day too. And it was great to see the club give back to them supporters. You know, we've got a disabled supporters club there who follow them home and away. I don't think they ever miss a game. I think, you know, that's where I think they're at every single match. So they're vitally important. They get behind the team and everyone else, and they love Corrine. So you know, yeah, it's one of them things. And it was a really, really busy day. And on the pitch, look, I thought first half Linfield were a better team, thought they probably should have went ahead. Second half, we were the better team, should have scored, didn't score, and then Linfield get the goal. And Linfield probably just that little bit more to play for in terms of getting second and securing European football. And I don't think we were that bad, but we just can't put the ball in the back of the net at the moment. And that sort of killed us.
Yeah, you talk about the Zabel Korean Supporters Club as well. And they as you say, they go to every game. They don't miss. And they also don't miss when it comes to giving out criticism of players.
I was just the way to say that. The visiting changing room is right beside their stand, hey, and you see some of the stick they give the opposition, hey. But no, look, they're bright. They really are. They fall home and away. And stuff like that there, and it's great they see the club acknowledge them and give them a wee bit back, and yeah, look, they're just as vitally important as anybody else, and yeah, they love it, and they, you know, Josh Selfridge, for example, I'm going to give him a shout. I don't think he's ever missed a game. he told us there he's for Benidorm and today in his holidays, and he's missing the Glentoran game on Saturday, so I think he was telling me he's going to try and find a stream or something. So yeah, I can just imagine that Egypt around Benidorm with full Korean, all his Korean gear on and stuff. They're all good lads. They really are good lads, and you know, and they love Korean, and they love
them. Rather, you're a player, and I heard you laughing when we were saying that they don't miss the players when it comes to dishing out the criticism. And I mean, have you been on the end of it? Is that what you're laughing at?
I don't think anybody misses that. No. You know, every player expects to get a bit of criticism along the way, but no, see, down there, it's definitely not too bad. I can't complain whatsoever down there. I think all the fans are sort of in it with the players as well. So, no, I can't complain down there. It hasn't been that bad yet. So, hopefully they hear this here and don't gaze anymore.
But, I mean, they are a massive part of the club too. The disabled supporters club there as well. They're just characters, and the place would be so much lesser without them, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Big time. I think Johnny's saying about Josh Selfridge here. I think Josh Selfridge is at the match before us players. Sometimes we pull up and he's there before us, I guess. No, I do. But no, I think they're absolutely brilliant. Just home and away, no matter where you're at. If you're away to Ballymallard on a Tuesday night, you're guaranteed to see them there.
Yeah.
But I think, no, they are. They're definitely the heartbeat of the club. And it's absolutely brilliant to see them there every Saturday.
Is his dedication, and just on the Secretary of State as well, Johnny, because earlier in the season, you know, obviously Korean had applied for a section or a portion of the levelling up funding, which they didn't get, but visits from the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland aren't going to do any harm if and when further or other stream of funding become available. Doesn't do any harm, does it?
Doesn't do any harm, no. And look, as I said, when we didn't get it in round two, the club can't do any more than what they've been doing. Trying to get it, we know how much it would mean to the club and how much it would help the club and everyone else. And you know, you look at the infrastructure now at Larne in terms of, obviously, look, they've had an investor there, but you know, they've their own academy of sport and all now, and Linford Park's doing really, really well and stuff like that. So yeah, look, it would help take not only Corey Football Club but the whole town and the whole community to a whole different level. And yeah, having the Secretary of State down doesn't hurt and stuff like that. So yeah, fingers crossed, look, in round three, I think it's our last go, that we can be successful. And must give a shout out to Barry White. I know he listens into the podcast every week. I finally met him. So he had a chat with him up, obviously, in the social club as well. So when the Secretary of State was there. So yeah, no, look, it was, you know, not very often some of these high figures that will come down to showgrounds, but by all accounts, he really enjoyed his day and stuff like that. So, yeah, good.
But it all helps, doesn't it? You know, that's the Secretary of State. We've had Lord Rogan here in the past. We've had the MP across earlier as well. It's all good PR, Johnny, isn't it? If and when funding becomes available, you would like to think that Korean are sort of well-positioned to get a share of any funding that becomes available through those high-ranking officials and others.
100%. Look, the club can't do anymore. Look, and you know, we can, you know, we could have somebody here from the council or some other body or organisation for money, and they can say the exact same thing that they've put everything in there and stuff like that. So, I'm not involved with the bidding team at Corian, but I do know how much time and effort went into that, like Bobby and David Boyd and guys like that. So, it would just be great if the club can get over the line and get a successful outcome just for the whole of Corian and the whole North Coast and everyone else. I think it would be fantastic. And could you imagine Northern Ireland ladies, for example, playing at the North Coast on a sunny day? You get a load of people come up to the North Coast and everyone else, the amount of boost that would be the economy and everyone else. So yeah, look, fingers crossed. I think maybe after there's going to be a lot of elections and stuff like that there, by all accounts. So it's probably not going to be to the summer, maybe, I think, before round three comes out. But how long's a piece of string, I suppose?
Yeah, well, we shall wait and see, and certainly those at boardroom level in the club bar are certainly doing their bit as well. So fair play to them for that. Just returning to matters on the pitch, since we've had our last podcast, Larne have been officially crowned as league champions, the first league, top league title in their club's history. Rodney, you're an East Antrim, mid and East Antrim man yourself, are you?
Yeah.
Just on Larne's success this season, I guess really and truly, you look at it in the round and Larne deserving champions.
Oh, 100%. I think it would be hard to, for anybody to argue that. I just think from January onwards, they've just went in a real, real good run. I think they signed really well in January as well and strengthened. And look, the best team always wins the league, Damien, and I don't think anybody can argue this year, but they have been and they went into them post-flip fixtures and just won 3 in the bounce, and that was it. And it was just, that was the league over. And I think just fair play to them. As much as everybody talks about the money and all that, but you still, the players have to go out there and perform every week, and they have to do the business on the pitch. And I think they were well-deserved winners.
Yeah, I mean, as a player yourself, you know, you're well positioned to look at the teams, and you look at the Larne team this year, and from the outside looking in, they just look like a different animal this year. As you said, the recruitment has been good, but they have almost a different style of play, or a steeliness about them this season that was maybe lacking previously.
Yeah, I actually watched the game there last Friday night against Crusaders, and I remember Tomas Cosgrove, after the game, he done an interview, and he said the difference this year was that they could mix it with the teams, where they could get stuck in when they needed to, and they could play when they needed to. I think that was probably a difference this year, because I think you still need that in Irish League. You still need to be able to get stuck in and do the dirty side, and I think that's what's probably paid off for them this year. Rightly so, they've won the league.
Yeah, I think they recruited well. I mean, Johnny, again, Rodney mentioned about obviously the investment in Kenny Bruce, and it's been well documented how much money has been spent and how they've increased every year, you know, in terms of what they have achieved and stuff. But I mean, when you look at it in the cold light of day, they've only lost 4 league games this year, and they've conceded what, 18 goals. You know, it's very, very hard to argue against them being crowned champions.
Look, I'll be the first to admit, see, once we drew them and they lost to Ballymena, I thought they were going to go on a wobbler and then go and win their 3 split games and win the league. So, yep, 100%, fully deserved it. Only conceded 18 goals. Their January signings won them the league, in my opinion. Andy Ryan, Fox in the box, popped up with 6 or 7 goals. Joe Thompson, really, really good player. And Michael Glenn, obviously, at left back. So, yeah, they've invested well. That's the big thing. You know, other clubs may have had investment and maybe not bought so well, whereas Larne have done it the right way. They've bought players that they've needed. And, you know, last year, Larne, I thought, may have had a soft underbelly, and they obviously signed Leroy Miller and Lee Bonus guys here, physical as well as good footballers, and can mix it. So, and they lost 4 of the 5 top goal scorers last year as well. Let's not forget, Ronan Hill left, Davy McDade left. I think Lee Lynch would have been up there too. And you know, if Paul, or not Paul, sorry, and somebody else must have left too. And you know, they've went and they've galvanised themselves and went and obviously won the league. So, yeah, look, never lies. And I think this is the first full year now where I've seen the full, I said this before, I've seen the full time teams kick on. And I know it's easy to say that when they're in the top 3 positions in the league, but it's definitely the first year I've noticed definitely not a gap, so to speak, but they just look fitter, fresher, probably better prepared as well. So, yeah, that's probably the first year I've really, really noticed it.
I suppose, really, it was only a matter of time, Johnny, when you're training full time every day during the day and you're able to sit and, I suppose, do a blackboard thing or a whiteboard and work out your tactics as to who you're playing and you're eating the best of food. I guess it stands to reason that at some point, sooner or later, those advantages are going to tell.
Certainly. And obviously, you know, Larne, Limfield and Tavenville, I think, even training 4 nights a week now in Limfield as well, leave the Glen. So those 4 or 5 teams in Crusaders are going to have better time with the players, more time to prepare, and more time they fall with downtime as well. So, you know, our guys will play on a Tuesday night and then go to work first thing in the morning. The Larne players have the day off and can rest and recuperate and stuff like that. So if you look at, you know, Warren made a good point that I think we're something like, is it 9 points or 10 points behind Limfield, which is only 3 or 4 games, but it's such fine margins in the league. And those extra 2 or 3% in the full-time teams can get could just be the whole difference between it. I think Cliftonville and Corian deserve a lot of credit for being so-called part-time teams and sticking with it. But I think unless I like, we'll probably come to Paddy McLaughlin later, but I think unless Corian get a backer and it's not being defeatist or an investor or something like that, it's going to be, I think it's going to be harder to compete with the top teams. And you even look at the gap between Corian and Glenavon, you know, or even if you even look at fourth and Glenavon, must be about 20 odd points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they're full-time team. So, you know, is it going to get bigger? Or, you know, how is it going to, you know, I think the full-time professionalism in the league is really, really good. But I think I would worry in case the full-time teams get that good where, you know, the part-time teams would, I think the part-time teams only, I think the bottom three only took about 4 points off top six teams this year in league games. So that would be my slight worry. I think full-time teams, I think the league going full-time would be brilliant if it could be sustainable. But I would just maybe worry, you know, maybe Alexa Larn or Glentoran would be that far ahead of, you know, the teams down at the bottom.
Would you share those worries, Rodney? Because obviously you're the coal face, you're playing, you can gauge on the field, etc. But would you share Johnny's concern that maybe the strong will only get stronger?
I think it's probably evident it's going to happen, but it's just how far to get ahead of everybody else. But I think, obviously, if you're training every day, you're obviously going to be fitter, stronger. And than a player that has been working all day, going to a Tuesday night game, and then going to work on the Wednesday morning, whenever maybe the team that you're playing is going in for recovery on a Wednesday morning, obviously it's going to be a lot different. But I still think, even down at Corian, every player looks after himself just as well, probably, as the full-time teams are doing, but maybe not having them as good as facilities as they do. But I still think, like, everybody would go out their way down here to go to the gym as well, but obviously not as much as they can with full-time teams, because you're actually, that's what you're going in for. You're going in to train to go to the gym. Whereas when you're part-time, you're coming home from work, trying to get your dinner and then go to the gym, which is obviously a lot harder after doing a day's work. But no, I don't know. I still feel as if as I'm playing for Corian, I still feel as if we're competing as well as we can with them. Obviously, you can sit at the end of the season and look back and you look at fixtures and you go, oh, we should have won, we should have got 3 points. You'll do that every season, no matter what. But obviously, them full team teams now are just going out and winning every week and doing what they have to do. Whereas we maybe drop silly points along the way, whereas they're not doing that, and that's probably why they're the 12, 13 points ahead of us at the end of the season.
Yeah, because Johnny mentioned it as well. I mean, there are fine lines. I mean, I suppose you look at the Linfield games that Corian have played this year. I mean, there has been really, really little between Corian and Linfield on all the games that they played. And yet, I don't think Corian maybe scored against Linfield in all those games, but at no stage in them games did you ever fear getting an absolute beating or that Linfield were so much better. They really are fine lines, aren't they? And it's hard to understand or hard to know how to close that gap, maybe.
Yes, exactly. Like when we're playing, like, I just feel as if we're never out of the game. No matter if we're one down or two. Yeah, I think you can look at this season any time we've played Cliftonville. It's either way, we went behind or went up front, but it's always end up 2-each, no matter what. I still think no matter what, we'll still compete with them teams, but it's probably just the consistency is the main thing now. I think that's probably why Larne have went on and won the league. They've been so consistent from probably January onwards. I don't even know how many they've lost since January, and I just think that's one thing probably for us that we have to look at is just consistency to try and close them 13, 14 points at the end of the season every year.
I don't think they've lost a lot since January.
I don't think so either.
Homework before for one of the Larne games, and I think they'd lost in October and November or something. And,
yeah.
And they've only lost four all year. So
you can't argue, I don't think.
And do you know what, as well, you know, what about Tiernan Lynch, right? Because he's probably had his fair degree of critics down the years, because everybody from the outside looking in was like going, well, you know, with that sort of money and that backing and blah, 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 you know, Tiernan Lynch should be cleaning up. He should be winning the leagues and cups and blah, blah, blah. And he did come under pressure at different times. But I mean, I suppose, Rodney, you know, when you look at him, he kept his counsel. He just kept at the job. He just did it bit by bit. And I suppose ultimately he got his reward and shut a lot of people up, probably.
Yeah, 100%. I think no matter what, if you're going through a bad spell, you're always going to be under criticism and scrutiny. But look now, he's won the league. And that's the one thing you want to win every year is the league. And now he's went and done it. And I don't think anybody can argue that he hasn't done a good job, even though when he was maybe under pressure. But that's probably, you can say about Lauren Boer backing him. They've backed him, and look, it's paid off. They went and won the league this year. So fair play to the Lauren Boer and Tiernan Lynch.
Is it worrying, Johnny, that obviously Lauren, with their back in and the way they were able to strengthen in January and the squad and all the rest that they have, is it worrying for the rest of the league that now they're going to go into the Champions League, they'll probably add to their squad in the summer, even maybe before they play the Champions League? There are lucrative rewards for getting through various rounds in Europe, etc. as well. When you put all that into context, I mean, Lauren could just really, really, really go on and strengthen and, dare I say, dominate perhaps for the next number of years.
They could, but then obviously you've Linfield and all, you know, he'll try to say something different and Glendoran and stuff like that. So, yeah, look, it's going to be interesting to see what happens and see, you know, how them teams obviously recruit. And recruitment's massive. Obviously, look, Lauren have recruited really, really well in the last 12 months, as I said. You know, I think that's what probably won them that's obviously did what won them the league. They've recruited well and they've obviously backed their manager. And yeah, I'd say they'll probably look at the Scottish market again. It's been very good to them. They've got Rowan Ferguson there, your big boy Sean Wundt and Andy Ryan and Joe Thompson. So the Scottish route has went really well for them. So that may be something they consider they go down as well. And look, Lauren are probably feeling in a different market to Corian and Clinville even. And so they'll be shopping a different market than us and probably up the, you know, be between them and Linfield and Glenthorne, because they can offer full time football. And but then again, as I said in the other way, you know, if players want to go part time, that's when Corian have to step up to the plate and hopefully try and be an attractive proposition for them.
Yeah, I mean, like any summer, potentially, Rodney, it's always interesting, even at this time of the year, the season's not quite over yet, but the rumour mill is really cranking up already. You know, we hear about players being linked with various clubs, etc. And I guess at this time of the year, that's what happens, isn't it? That managers, clubs, players, they're all starting to sort of look what their options are, etc. And it's a busy time, isn't it? Particularly in the summer.
Yeah, big time. I would go on Twitter and scroll through, and that's probably the thing for Lauren now. They'll be looking at probably two or three other players at the season they've had. They have maybe a chance of like teams from lower England or Scotland coming in and trying to nab them. And Lauren's biggest issue now will be trying to keep them sort of players so they can build on what they've done this year. Because once you win something, you don't want to lose players and then end up next year it doesn't go to plan. But that'll be their main objective this year, to try and keep the squad they have, because they know they have a good enough squad this year that have went and won the league, so they'll be wanting to build on that and then go again next year. But no, look, there's always going to be rumours no matter what, false or true, nobody knows until it actually happens. So, no, to be honest, I haven't heard too much.
But I never thought of that, the bit that you just mentioned, that, you know, clubs maybe at lower leagues in England and Scotland potentially could come and look at Lauren's players. I was thinking more Lauren going to buy players and bring them in, but the flip side is what you said, and potentially other clubs across the water could come in. But then I suppose Lauren have the back and the financial clout, if you like, that they can match whatever the other clubs are offering their players and have a better chance of keeping them, maybe, Rodney, than the likes of maybe Corian, for example, in the past.
Yes, 100%. That's true as well. But I just think, obviously, you look, England's probably so much more advanced than over here. So maybe someday we want to try their luck over there, see what happens, try it. You'll never know until you try it. And see now in this league, there's so many good young players coming through. I just think there's more. And even since I started playing compared to now, there's so much more getting through over here. And moving on to bigger over in Scotland or else England. I think like they're scouted probably every other game over here now, which is so good to see as well.
And there's in recent weeks we've had a couple of young boys from Korean sitting on the bench, and one of them getting playing, Senan Devine obviously played against Crusaders, and young Alfie Gaston, 16 as well, joining him on the bench in recent games as well. And I guess that's like what you're talking about, potentially young guys breaking through and getting an Irish League career, or like PK before them heading across the water.
Yeah, 100%. I think you only have to look at PK just to see how well he's actually doing now. And look, Oran will always give the young ones a chance. There'll probably be a few of them join us in pre-season this year and then play pre-season, and then they'll take it from there. And if you're good enough, Oran will always give you a chance no matter what. So I think, and I think Marty, the reserve manager, is very, very good as well. So I played there a couple of times just before Christmas, and they seem to have a good bunch of kids coming through. So hopefully a few of them do come through and push on, because they all seem as if they want to do really well, which is good to see as well.
Well, that is, and that's important, Johnny, because obviously Korean, like many clubs, don't have the money, the financial resources that Larne have, that maybe Glentoran has, Linfield probably have as well. And the onus is on the club through the likes of Marty and his team and the reserves and underage levels is to produce good young players and ultimately, hopefully, save and create a few bob in the transfer market.
That's it. You know, I think not Oran has to, but I think it's a good sign that he's playing the young boys, because it gives, you know, the other young boys at the club, you know, that little bit of a boost or that, you know, determination, you know, that they could do what Shannon's done or Shannon's done and played the last two games. So, yeah, it's sort of not a role model, so to speak, but because PK's that, if you think about it, but it shows them, you know, if you play well for those errors and give everything you have, you've got a chance of being on the first team. And yeah, look, there's Luca Dogley there too, Sean Carden, Corey McLaughlin, Jack Patton, Alfie Gaston, they've all been up now and around the first team. So it just shows there must be a good crux of youngsters coming through. And yeah, it's probably harder. It's harder now to give them a chance because of how tight and competitive the league is. And, you know, finishing, you know, below sixth now isn't seen as good enough now, to be perfectly honest. So it's probably harder to give him a chance. But yeah, look, I think Senan hasn't done himself any wrong. He hasn't done anything wrong. I thought he was really good that night at Crusaders. And obviously he came off on Saturday half time and we wanted to change the shape by bringing Lee Lynch on. So yeah, look, he hasn't done himself any harm whatsoever. So yeah, no, look, I think it's when you see young guys like that making up, you instantly just want to see them do well. And so yeah, look, I don't think that'll ever change. And yeah, as Rodney says, there'll be a few boys up training in pre-season and probably in the right squad.
Good to see. And always supporters of football clubs love to see local guys making it in their own hometown team. No matter what team you support, whether it's Korean, Cardiff, or whoever it might well be, everybody loves to see local guys coming through and playing for the local team. And just on PK, I think him and his West Ham boys are playing in the FA Youth Cup final the end of this month, Johnny. Am I right? Do you know?
I think that sounds about right, aye. So,
yeah.
Different.
What an occasion that'll be for him. Playing Arsenal, I believe.
Aye, different ball game. They maybe going and playing away at Warren Point or somewhere like that. So, aye, no, look. I've said it on here plenty of time. We both said it that PK works hard at his game. He's a very level headed, very grounded, doesn't get above himself. So yeah, look, anything that he gets so of his football career, he more than deserves it. And yeah, right. hopefully they win and he gets a hat trick and plays for the first team and plays Northern Ireland, so we can get plenty of bonuses.
So you could just say, I know
PK for flips out.
What have you been doing? Listen, take a quick look at the weekend's fixtures before we depart here. I'm just looking at the fixtures, and obviously the one that probably catches the eye is Friday night. The new champions, Larne, welcome Linfield to Inverpark. I think they're getting presented with a trophy on Friday night as well. And I was thinking about this earlier, Rodney, and is it commonplace? Would you expect Linfield to give Larne a guard of honour coming onto the pitch, or does that happen, or is that a no-no? Does anybody know how these things work?
I think they will. No, I think they probably deserve it as well. I'm not too sure. I can't even remember last year. I can't remember what happened.
I remember either. But you, I mean, you would expect, really, that would be kind of a sports thing, wouldn't it?
Yes, 100%.
I mean, and if that is the case, how hard would it be if you were in a Linfield player's shoes to be doing that, Rodney? You'd just be like...
obviously, because Linfield were obviously the ones trying to chase him down. And now they end up, they have, they played him when they are lifting the trophy. But look, that's football. These things happen. And I think, no, can't argue that Larne have deserved it this year. And obviously, Linfield have just come up a bit short. And they probably know themselves they've come up a bit short as well. So, no, I think they'll give them a stand ovation.
Yeah, I think they will. And Johnny, like we deal with David Healy quite often in post-match scenarios and situations. And he always comes across very well and very sort of sportsmanlike in his comments. And one of the things he always says is that they're humble in victory and humble in defeat as well. And he almost treats the two things the same. And I don't think there'll be any problem there. And he'll be hurting because obviously they've given up the Gibson Cup, but no doubt he'll be using that and he'll use that as motivation for next season already, won't he?
Yeah, look, David, we spoke to David after the match on Saturday and they'll go down and congratulate Larne. So, by all accounts, that'll probably be clapping them all onto the pitch to our guard of honour. So, yeah, look, I think when the Linfield players who have been so used to success have to sit there and clap for the team that's coming on the pitch, I don't think they need much more motivation for next year than that. So, yeah, so look, Larne fully deserve it. I'm fully expecting, Linfield have... They've had more guards of honour given to them probably than any other team in the world for flip sake. So, I think they will. And knowing David Healy and how he is, and yeah, I definitely expect them to do that.
It'd be strange for the Linfield guys, won't it, as well, because they're so used to winning. And but as you say, it'll be motivation for them for next season already. You put that in the bank and remember that one. Corian, away to the Oval, Rodney, obviously you're inactive, you'll not be able to play, but how do you think Oran and your colleagues will approach that? Because there's two games remaining before the playoffs, which were guaranteed. We've already mentioned that players are, some of them, excuse me, are struggling with knocks and injuries, etc. So what way does he approach it? Does he change it? Does he go for a win?
No, I don't think I approach it any different than he approaches any other game. It's just probably the fact now that we can't gain anything on anyone or we can't go any lower, but he'll probably be trying to manage players that have backs and pains and maybe not, they'll maybe have to play them 45 or 60 or they'll try and get them on the bench. But then the other problem is there's maybe not enough players that he has to available for him. Because I think Jamie Glacken's out with an injury too. Obviously me. Dean Jarvis, I think, maybe he's back from suspension this week.
Yeah.
Which will help him out. And I think Conor McKendry he's back from suspension too. So, I don't know. He'll not approach a game any different. It'll just be the same as any other Saturday. But obviously now we'll probably be looking towards the playoffs at the minute.
Maybe some of the younger guys that were mentioned earlier, maybe they get a chance on Saturday then.
Yeah, they could do, and if they do, I really hope they do well. And look, they'll be nervous and all that there, but they'll be going out there with no pressure either, so which is another bonus for them.
Yeah, there is no pressure on or Johnny, is there?
No, there's no pressure.
The greatest of respect to the league. I mean, it's from Corian's point of view, you're not going to go any higher or lower, so it's nothing game really.
Yeah, no, that's it, 100%. So, chance for really some young boys to get a game and chance for Oran to maybe offload a couple of boys for the playoffs and manage a few injuries and things like that. So, yeah, it'll be probably a weird sort of a game. I'm not for it. So, I think you're going up. So, that'll be probably a different kind of. Although, the Glenzel wanting to.
Yeah.
They'll probably finish as high up the table as they can.
Well, look, potentially they could still finish second.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens. I've got to mention as well, strange games. I think it'll be a strange game. I think at Solitude on Saturday, they play Crusaders and lost their manager, Paddy McLaughlin, during the week he stepped down from his job. Rodney, I got to ask you, what was your reaction when you heard that? I mean, were you surprised or had you seen it coming?
I probably was surprised just of how quick it all happened. Because I remember I was on Twitter and I'd just seen the sort of Belfast Telegraph put something up, and then I think that night Cliftonville announced that he had gone. So, no, I was a wee bit surprised, but obviously Paddy's moving on, and maybe he thinks it's the right time for him, which is fair enough. So, but I think Cliftonville will miss him. But I think he's a brilliant, brilliant manager. And that's what one thing I always said, like for the past probably 2 or 3 years, the hardest team I always find at playing against was Cliftonville. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. He had them playing serious stuff. You just look at last year, how close they went. And then last year, they won the League Cup as well. And even this year, bar probably the last 4 or 5 weeks, things haven't went to plan for them. So, but no, I think Cliftonville will really miss him. And I'll take a big boots to fill that job.
I know I've seen names. I mean, Rodney, who would be in contention to take over, I wonder?
I wouldn't even know. I think I read, was it Decky or Horace taking over at the end of the season? I couldn't even tell you, Damien. I wouldn't have a clue. No idea.
I mean, Johnny, it's a big blow for Cliftonville, even though it was touted quite widely that Paddy was maybe going to go, etc. When it does happen, given the timing of it, like 2 games before the end of the season and probably maybe potentially playoffs for Cliftonville, that's a bit of a blow for them, isn't it?
That's a massive blow for them, especially probably more the timing, I think. More than anything, I think it's a bit of like a Brendan Rodgers that time when they left Celtic and stuff like that. So there's never really a good time for a manager to go, but that's probably a big blow for them. I think it's a no-brainer for Paddy. I've said this to a few people. I said it to, I was down at training last night with the boys, and I've said it to a few of them. I think Paddy, I've heard that Paddy's doubled his wages. He's in a couple of year contract. Is at his doorstep, full-time football, there in Europe. You know, and I think he's probably taking his Cliftonville as far as he can. And I've said that as well. So, you know, full-time teams and stuff is getting harder. So, yeah. And he can sort of, not he can unwind, but he can let Rory take a lot of the pressure as manager. And yeah, Paddy's done a fantastic job at Cliftonville. Whoever takes that over will have big shoes to fill. They've won the League Cup, the County Antrim Shield, been in Europe. So it's a big, big ask for whoever comes in and takes that job. So yeah, the timing's not great, but I think Paddy was very close to going the last time from what I gather. So and even look, I knew, like, I had a feeling it was going to happen when you look at the Cliftonville score at half time on Saturday. They were 3-9 at half time. And not saying that the players gave up, but maybe they thought that, you know, Paddy was going. So, one of them things. And Paddy's been really, really good manager in the Irish League, even at Stuart as well. So I'm sure he'll be good at Derry as well.
What about who succeeds him, Johnny? You work for the newsletter now. You're in the know in local football. Who's your money on, or is there? There's too many names to decide.
Yeah, I was on the forums there last night. I think there's 37 managers somebody listed. So, I seen there that Dermot O'Carroll. There's big links with Dermot.
Yeah.
So,
I think he was the favourite to replace him. I think I read.
Yeah, I think that would be a pretty shrewd appointment. Obviously, he'd have contacts in Scotland because he's been working with St Mirren, and he's obviously working with Northern Ireland as well. So, I'm sure he's on 2 good wages there. So. Would you swap that for the blood and thunder of being a manager? I don't know. I've seen Robinson there from St Mirren. Stephen Robinson's there said that he would say that Dermot O'Carroll would be mad if it was to go into management. So, I think that'd be a pretty shrewd appointment. I think it'd be interesting. And then obviously, like I said, Jim McGilton and stuff like that. But it's weird. There's been no real sort of standard. You know, there's probably not managers, but. You know, you're sitting there thinking, "Craigie, who could they get?" So, that's obviously up for. I think Cliftonville might have to think outside the box rather than somebody from the Irish League. But,
Rodney, as a player, if you were a player in the Cliftonville changing room now, I mean, how unsettling would that be? Somebody as Paddy always seems very, very close to all of his players there. How unsettling would it be as a player for that to happen and given the timing of it?
Yeah, that's probably the most worrying bit at the minute was the timing, because of where they're obviously sitting at in the league and the playoffs coming up and maybe only 3 or 4 games left, but two of them that are really, really important for them. So, no, it would be a big blow, and obviously it's going to affect the players as well. With, you can't say it wouldn't when you know it is, because that's your manager, he's gone, and you've got 4 games to sort of prep. And look, it's just the timing's the biggest factor, I think, at the minute.
The timing's the bit that gets me. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm not overly surprised that Paddy has gone. I'm just surprised that maybe he didn't wait a number of weeks to finish this season.
Yes, but I know with only maybe 2 or 3 weeks left, probably, yes. But obviously, Paddy's made his own decision, and that's just the way it was. And he obviously felt it was right for him. And I hope he goes on and does really well down at Derry, because he comes across as a real good person.
I've no doubt he will. Like, again, having watched him play for Corian and worked with him post games in his management that role at Cliftonville, I've no doubt he'll do very well. And he's proved it before with Cliftonville. But so plenty of big games happening this weekend. But I just noticed one that it's not at the top end of the table, but it's at the wrong end of the foot, or the bottom end of the table, Johnny. I think you mentioned maybe that you were going ahead to that one, and that's Dungannon against Portadown on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be in sunny Dungannon. So, that's a massive game.
What a game that is going to be.
Yeah, I'm surprised TV probably want to be at Larne for them lifting the trophy, but...
That's on Friday, Larne is.
I'm surprised that they maybe just didn't change it. Because the league's over anyway, but I get why. Obviously, you can't change it last minute, Larne, when you win the league and stuff like that. But that's a massive game. Obviously, if Dungannon win, Portadown are relegated. If Portadown win, they go above Portadown by a game to go. And then obviously, if Dungannon win and Newry get beat, Dungannon play Newry in the last game of the season. And if Dungannon win, they avoid the playoff. They would put Newry in the playoff. So yeah, all if buts and maybes. I think Newry only need a point from Ballymena on Saturday. They stay up completely, so they avoid the playoff as well. So yeah, it's a big game. I think when we were sitting here in the podcast 2 or 3 months ago, and if you offered Niall Curry when he took the job, you have to beat Dungannon to go above them with a game to go, you'd have ripped your arm off for it. So yeah, it's a massive, massive game down there. Stangmore Park, Dungannon, they're home their last 2 games. So, and then Portadown play Glenavon in the last game of the season. So if you're Glenavon, what do you save your derby, or do you relegate your rivals? You know, and then the European playoff in a couple of weeks' time as well. So it'll be interesting to see. The sickness of me would love it to be a draw, and then it goes down to the final game of the season. and even Newry, and then Ballymena beat Newry, and then Dungannon, they have to win, they have to beat Newry. Not only do they stay up, but then you have to go in the relegation playoff. So, and a side note from that too, very friendly with Dean Smith at Loch Gall. Congratulations to all of them for coming up. I think it's a fantastic achievement. And everyone else. And I think they've had a few sickness in the last couple of years with administration errors and stuff like that. So, yeah, we obviously played them earlier in the season too. So, nice change and different. You know, I've never been down there, Lakeview Park. So, that'll make a nice change. And yeah, whoever finishes in second bottom is a tough one against Warren Point as well, because by all accounts they're flying. So yeah, there's still plenty they play for, and then obviously you've the European playoffs too. So
it's Rodney, when you hear Johnny talking his way through those games at the bottom end of the table, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, given where Portadown were, it's been some recovery from them.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think everybody always talks about the pressure at the top of the league, but I mean, that there, when you're down there, knowing that if you finish bottom, you're going down, I think that there's real pressure compared to where the likes of the top teams are sitting. So, look, fair play to Portadown. They've dug their way out of it, and now they have an actual chance of staying up, which is probably all credit goes to Niall Curry and the signings he's made in January. So, look, Saturday be chaos down at Stangmore Park. I would actually love to go down in that game.
Who would I?
Johnny's got the privilege of that.
I'll give you a lift, Rodney.
No, but out there, I think when everybody looks at the top of the table, pressure to try and win the league, I think there's a lot more pressure probably going into Saturday for them two teams, knowing that if they go down, just trying to, for sustainability and all for the club, I just think it's massive.
It's brilliant. That if you're not involved and you don't have a vested interest in any of those particular clubs, it's great because it's just pure drama all the way. If you're a supporter, there's no fun involved. We all know that. We all support different teams, but I'm just relieved that Ballymena just had enough points just to manage to avoid it there. So I'm pleased about that.
No.
Well, it is the Corian podcast, so you know,
be professional, Damien. Be professional.
No, but you know, it's lighthearted. You know, genuinely, like, as a Corian fan, you would hate to see Ballymena go down because you would miss those derby games.
As a Corian fan, and just speaking as a Corian fan, I would love them to get beaten the first round of every cup and finish 10th every year, and we played them. You know, and they would say the exact same. You imagine not playing each other in Boxing Day and all the time.
No, you couldn't have that.
That's what local football is all about, in my opinion. So, that's literally it. Sure, you don't want to see them do too well, but you still want them in the league and enjoy the rivalry and play against them in the big crowds and stuff like that. So, no,
yeah, I mean that's what it's all about, Rodney, isn't it? I mean, we have the odd dig at Ballymena, but listen, they have a dig back, and that's what derbies are all about. It's about rivalry and intensity and I'm not liking them, but having a bit of respect for them at the same time.
Oh, 100%. I think everybody in there is taking respect for everybody, no matter what happens on and off the pitch. And look, the Boxing Day one, look, families look forward to that match every year. That's the big one that they all look forward to. I think it would be really weird not playing Ballymena every Boxing Day. So,
yeah.
No, okay. I think Ballymena isn't a good enough day. They'll not be going down anytime soon.
Oh.
And look, and I wish them all the best in this Irish Cup final. Them anchor shaders, I think it'll be brilliant again.
You have to say that because you're from Ballymena.
I know. I need to keep myself right.
You're getting worried there. I know. But that's another thing. There's Ballymena, right? By probably their own admission, they haven't had a great season. They're sitting on 35 points, fourth from bottom. But potentially, you know, they're 90 minutes away from European football next year, Rodney.
Exactly. That's the thing. So no matter what happens, they've won last shot at it here. They obviously know they can't get in the playoffs, but they've one way of securing Europe by winning the Irish Cup. And you only have to look at last year. Mm-hmm. They were 1-0 up until 93rd minute, 1-1, and then the last kick extra time as well. They were so unfortunate, but the exact same final this year, I don't know. I think it'll be a really good game, and I'll probably try and get up to it as well. I think being on a Sunday as well, it's just going to suit everybody, and there'll be a bigger crowd as well, so... No, I think it'll be a very good game.
I do, and particularly given what happened 12 months ago, I think adds extra intrigue to it as well, because Ballymena will be desperate to avenge what happened 12 months ago in Crusaders. There'll probably be a bit of nervousness within Crusaders that they get the job done without having to score two late goals to win it this year. And depending on what happens, similar for Crusaders, if they go and win the Irish Cup, that's them in Europe, regardless of the playoffs. So, you know, fair play to them if they do that. But, you know, it's set up for an exciting climax to the season. And I'm just sorry for you, poor Rodney, that you'll not be picking part of. You know,
things happen. They do.
Yeah. They're all part and parcel of the game.
Exactly.
And you don't forget, Johnny will give you a lift to whatever game you want to go to. He's on record there. He's taking you to whatever Dungannon on Saturday. So, well, here, guys, that's pretty much a good look at all things Irish League. Anything you want to say, Johnny? There, are you happy enough?
You're good. Thanks for Rodney coming on, and wish him a speedy recovery. And I'm sure I'll be speaking to him in the next couple of weeks. So.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Rodney, delighted to have you on. Great to hear about you and how you're getting on. I know it's a long struggle to get fit again, but, you know, just day by day, I think, is the motto.
Yes, that's it. We'll get there.
Very good. Right. Well, here, that will do us. We're off to the Oval, some of us, this Saturday. Some of us are heading to other parts of the world. But anybody that's going to the Oval on Saturday, hopefully it's a good game, and maybe Corian can get their first win post-split and get some sort of momentum as we head towards the playoffs. So until next week, I'd like to say thank you very much to Rodney Brown for coming on. Thank you to Johnny, as ever, and Thank you all very much for listening. Goodbye.